Here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Being on the radio now at this broadcast 26 years, I have come across many types of ministry that are effective. They come out of the heart and life and relationship that people have with our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, and they benefit different people at different times. This ministry that I'm sharing today was very effective in my life, in my wife's life at one time in our life, and it can be very effective for you. It may be something you need today that you can't seem to get anywhere else. So today we are going to continue part two with Jack Chick and Dr. Rebecca Brown. Oh, okay. Also, a good portion of today's broadcast will be Elaine, Nurse Elaine, who was a bride of Satan, and she's going to tell her story.
Spirit led me in my prayer times over and over and over again to pray the prayer that Moses did when he went against Anak, the Canaanite king. Moses said, Lord, rise up and let your enemies be scattered. And over I found myself praying those words. And also, at that time, the Lord very much laid on my heart that scripture in Ezekiel 20, chapter 22. And I think it might be wise to stop and read it here because it certainly is very key to what happened in my life. And it's Ezekiel 22, verses 30 and 31. It says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. And you know, the Holy Spirit really laid it upon my heart to ask God to allow me to stand in the gap for that hospital. I was so concerned for the unsaved souls there. And I didn't know what all that meant, but I just asked the Lord if in any way he could use me, that I was willing to stand in the gap for that hospital, that the Lord would not have to pour out his wrath upon those people, that instead they would be turned to Jesus Christ.
Rebecca, let me ask you this. What happened to Lynn, the girl? Wasn't she in danger divulging all this information? She was a Christian now, but wasn't she in danger?
Yes, she really took a big risk, and she was very frightened. I know she talked to me very quietly. She refused to talk to me in the hospital about it at all, and she told me that I couldn't tell anyone about it. And I talked to her about this young minister, and she knew about that young minister. And she was very frightened that the same thing would happen to her, although she said that she had not actually signed a contract to become a member of the group. But I learned about this group not only from Lynn. The Lord brought some other people, they were employees at the hospital there, into my life who were Christians, and they started telling me about the group also. And they had been members of that pastor's church. And they told me about the ministry that he'd been involved in and how he had been bringing people out of this group. And they would hardly talk about it because they were obviously very scared too. And the pastor left the state as soon as he got out of the hospital. He left the state. And these people said, well, it was something that they didn't want to talk about very much because they didn't know who would overhear them, and they were afraid of the same thing happening to them.
There's an old principle throughout history. You kill one to terrorize 10,000.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because certainly no one else would want to come out of the cult because they'd be afraid, you know, that this same sort of thing would happen to them.
So these young girls or young boys today who are fooling around with witchcraft, Dungeons and Dragons and so on, who are planning on going into covens, are really setting themselves up for a horrible future.
Yes, they are, because it's very difficult to change your mind once you get involved with Satan, because Satan doesn't give up his servants easily.
In other words, you go out feet first. It's like entering the mafia, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, Elaine, I'd like to ask you a question at this point. Were you aware of the activity going on in that hospital under Dr. Rebecca Brown? Was she a problem to you?
Yes, I was at the peak of my power at that time. I ran that whole community. Although I lived about 35 miles, from where Rebecca's hospital was. I received orders directly from Satan himself. He came to me and gave me direct orders to get rid of this doctor that was causing all this problem.
Why would Elaine, what about the young minister Rebecca told us about?
I gave the order for that young minister to be brutalized as he was. He was interfering with our business, and that was to be stopped, and that's the way we stopped him.
Mm. Okay, were you going to take Rebecca out the same way?
Oh, no, no, no. No, you don't do the same thing twice in a row in the same area and that close together, because that would draw too much attention to what's going on, and they might believe the two or they wouldn't believe the one. So we organized, or I organized, a national effort between top witches nationwide to get rid of Rebecca. I did find out that this doctor had a disease that was supposed to be incurable. And that's the only place I could find where there was a weakness. So I organized a national effort with all these witches to do special incantations and special prayers, special calling up of special demons, to inflict Rebecca with the disease that she had, to make it worse than what she already had.
Rebecca, can I ask you a question? When they started these incantations, what happened to you at this point?
Well, I never associated what was going on with my body with the warfare that I was involved in. But I suddenly began to get rapidly worse. I had an incurable neuromuscular disease. And I came under the care of a doctor there in the hospital, one of the top doctors. And I grew worse and worse and worse over the following, it was about 4 or 5 months, to the point where at the end of my first year there, I was told I only had about a month to live. I was given a choice as to whether I wished to be hospitalized within that hospital or go home, and I chose to go home to die.
Elaine, was this just to get Rebecca out of the way, or was it to kill her?
It was to kill her, Jack.
Okay, Rebecca, what happened to you after you went home to die?
Well, several things happened. I had a home church there, not the church I was raised in, but one that I had attended during my years in medical school. And the pastor of that church was an extremely godly man. And I was at my parents' house. My parents were not a member of the church. I was unable to get out of bed. I was bedridden by that time. And Pastor Pat came to see me at my folks' house, and he told me that he'd taken this matter to the Lord, and that the Lord had indicated to him that it was not his will for me to die at that time. And he told me, he said, Rebecca, I know this sounds really far out, but I believe the Lord has revealed to me that you are being attacked by a group of very powerful witches, and that that is what is bringing about your death. Have you been involved with witches in any way? Is this possible? And suddenly the light began to come on, and I began to realize the connection. Because you see, until that point, I had not shared with Pastor Pat anything that was going on, because I was out of town at this training hospital. And I began to sit down and share with him what was happening. And we saw the connection. And that entire church was a very powerful praying church at that time. And there were about 200 people that fasted and prayed for me literally around the clock for almost an entire week. And as a result of that witchcraft, the power of that was broken. I was shielded, and the Lord raised me up and healed me. Now, I had about a 4 months recuperation period because I had lost so much muscle mass physically, but I was completely cured of this incurable illness by the Lord.
Okay, now, Rebecca, this raises an interesting question. Since you were a Christian, how could the witches so successfully affect you?
Well, Hosea 4, verse 6 says, "My people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge." And that's exactly what was going on in my case. I had no knowledge of what was coming against me. In the 6th chapter of Ephesians, as you know, the full armor of God is described in that chapter. And specifically it says that you should use the shield of faith to put out the fiery darts from the devil. What most Christians don't realize is that the fiery darts referred to are demons sent by Satan or sent by servants of Satan to afflict them. And when you don't even have any idea you're being attacked, then it's pretty difficult to use a shield of faith. Now, interestingly enough, I was using that shield of faith for all of my patients, but it never occurred to me I needed to use it for myself.
Huh. Elaine, after the church did all this praying, how did this affect you?
Well, whenever I send out my incantations with my demons, they'd come back and beat me up. They'd be yelling and screaming at me, "How dare I send them against a true born-again believer?" And very soon after that, then, I got a visit from Satan himself again, and he was wanting to know what the problem was. Why wasn't this doctor dead? What was a big holdup? Why wasn't I doing my job? So I became angry, and I told him what the demons told me, and he said, "They're liars." And we went round and round with that, and he got mean and nasty with me. So I got mean and nasty with my servants, with the witches underneath me. So I sent demons out on the witches to discipline them because I was being disciplined, you see.
Amazing.
Now, this brings up a question, Elaine, that a lot of people would ask. You referred to the demons beating you up. Did they beat you up in a physical form?
Yeah, they would manifest themselves in a physical form and beat me up like if you and I got into a fisticuff fight, we'd have bruises all over us, and if Jack was standing here seeing us, he could see us fight. Yes, that's the form that they manifested themselves in, was in a physical form.
Amazing. Okay, now, was this your first realization of a greater power than Satan?
Oh, no. No, no.
Could you tell us about the first, then?
Oh, sure. We were out here shortly after I had come to a greater power, and I was a high priestess, and you know how a lot of people like to show off and things. Well, we were out here for a competition, which is... witches in Satan's kingdom, there's competition all the time. You must get up the ladder. You must be the highest of the high in order for the people to leave you alone most of the time. We were out here for a competition where we had witch fights. Now, you know, by a witch fight, I mean that we would draw the more powerful demons out of the witch we were fighting with and call them into ourselves. Now, this competition, I won. To give you an example of some of the other things that we did, we would show just how powerful the demons were inside of us. We could change a cat into a rabbit, or a rabbit into a cat, however the animal would die, but it could be done. This is demonically done. A man was standing about 20 feet away from me, and at point-blank range, he took a .357 Magnum, and I had waved my hands in front of my body and stood there and let him fire at me, and the bullet dropped at my feet. Now, the demons was what I was calling up and using to protect me from this bullet. Now that I'm a Christian, I understand that the demons were only there in order to destroy us. But as a witch, I thought that they were our servants. But I know that they are to destroy all witches and warlocks, anyone involved in any type of Satanism, because as a Christian I can see that. God's given me a beautiful gift of seeing exactly what was laid out for me, what was waiting for me. And now I have the hope of heaven. Before, I had only hell.
Elaine, now, it was during this competition that you discovered this greater power. Could you tell us what happened?
Yes, I went with the high priest out here. He got together the top witches and told us that he has specific orders, this is from Satan, that there was a family in this area that was giving great difficulties to the craft in this area, and that they were to be killed. And we sat down in a circle and we began to do our incantations, and we astral projected ourselves to this family's home. When we got there, there was this wall of angels. I mean, it was just around, completely around this man's property.
Would you please turn the tape over at this time? Thank you.
That voice would be deep and gruff, but it was a very sweet, very sincere voice, and the eyes were sincere and full of love, and they looked at me and said, "Won't you stop what you're doing? Don't you know that Jesus loves you? Won't you make Jesus your Savior?" Well, I'd had enough. That was it. I was leaving. I wasn't fighting anything that was going to look like that at me and say that to me, and I couldn't get through. The others tried for a while, but they left. Now, it was against you and your family, Jack, that we were sent against because of what you were publishing here at your publishing company. Because you were getting through to a lot in Satanism, because you were talking out against so many things that the Satanists back. And because of that, you were to be put out of the way. But because of your love for Jesus Christ and His love for you, you have protection that I had never seen before. That was the first time I'd ever come against anything that was stronger than the power that I had had.
Praise God. See, this is what happens when Christians pray for one another, because none of us realize the attacks. And this is why sometimes when God says, get up and pray for some missionary out on the field, this is to stop the attacks of the enemy. We have to do this for one another. We have to be more and more in prayer all the time. I think we should go back now and trace what happened in Elaine's life to bring it up to this point, so that those of you listening to this tape can understand the final events which brought Elaine to making Jesus Christ her Lord and Savior. Elaine, would you tell us about your birth?
Sure. I was born a hair lip with a cleft palate, and to break that down so that most people can understand it, it means I had no nose, no upper lip, and no roof of my mouth. It would take many surgeries and much money to build me a face, to actually make me one, and many years of such. My family was extremely poor. We had no money, and the welfare back then was not like it is today. They wouldn't help people like they do today. And so my mother was kind of between a rock and a hard place. She didn't know what to do or who to go to. And there was a young nurse working there in the hospital where my mother gave me birth. And she came to mother and told her that there was an organization that she worked for that would supply all the monies needed for me to have all the surgeries I needed, for all the repair work I needed done on my face, for however long it took to get it done, and it took 16 and a half years. All my mother had to do was give them a thimbleful of my blood to use for experimentation. Now, she had no idea that the experiment was that a high priestess was to drink this blood, which would automatically sell me, more or less, at birth to Satan. I grew up with a great deal of pain, of course, because plastic surgery hurts, it burns, and a great deal of attention from my mother, which is drawn away from my brother, who didn't like that, of course. You know, he had the inner sibling rivalry type things. But also noticed I was very special around other people, certain people that lived in our neighborhood, that lived around us. They watched me closely. They were always watching to make sure I didn't hurt myself, that I didn't get hit by a car or get hit by a baseball or get hurt like other kids got hurt. It was really strange. And I also noticed there was something inside of me that was so growing. It was a power. I didn't understand it. I had no idea what was going on. I was just aware that it was there. I didn't know what it was for or why I had it. And I couldn't find anybody to tell me because I didn't know who to go to ask. And when you're a little kid, you don't know. And I'd ask my mother, I'd say, I feel strange. And she'd say, well, how do you feel strange? She thought I had a fever or was coming down with a cold or something wrong with my surgery or something like this. And that was a natural reaction for her because, see, she wasn't aware either of what had happened. Because had she been aware, it never would have happened.
I might just add here, Jack, that I, in my medical practice, have come across a number of children that have also been sold to Satan in such a manner.
Okay,
I also noticed that other children around me did not have this same gift or power or whatever it was. So I was pretty much left kind of like out on a limb, and I was afraid because I didn't know what this was, but I wanted to know more about it.
Okay, Elaine, how did you finally learn what was going on?
Well, I found out, interestingly enough, from a girl who was in the same Sunday school class I was in a Pentecostal church in my hometown.
Amazing.
She asked me to go with her to church camp. Now, when you say church camp, most people think of, you know, the camp where everybody, the kids go and they have different dorms, and of course they get to go swimming and they learn about the Bible and Jesus, and this was not that kind of church camp. This was another camp, and this camp was for mediums and spiritualists and clairvoyants and palm readers and tea leaf readers and tarot card readers. It was also for witches and warlocks and all of this type of thing. But when you first go in, they don't show you the witch and warlock part, just the fun part, like you go in and have your palm read, and then they show, isn't this fun? Wouldn't this be fun to learn how to do this? And wouldn't it be fun to learn how to read a tarot card or a Ouija board? Or wouldn't it be fun to learn how to read tea leaves or coffee grounds or any of these things? And it starts out as a fun thing, like a camp. Before the 2 weeks was up, I had spent a great deal of time learning about different aspects of this camp and about a power that they kept saying I had within. And I was beginning to think, is this a power that keeps surging inside of me, that keeps fighting and wanting to get out? And I began to think more and more and more about what other people had told me that was around me. I had a special gift. I was a gifted child. I was this, I was that. And I also remembered that other kids didn't have what I had. And I was beginning to think, now maybe there is something to all this. Then the girl comes up to me and asks if I want to join their organization. And I was hesitant because I wasn't sure what I had to do to join this group. And I wasn't too sure I wanted to because primarily I hated people. I had been so badly mistreated at home. I had been badly mistreated in school. Nothing like peers to hurt you the worst. Your kids your own age can just make your life miserable, and they did mine because of my deformities and that type of thing. So I had basically learned to hate people pretty well. I was a street kid. I learned how to fight and handle myself well. So I was a little hesitant to join, but they told me that, you know, I should join because I had this special gift, this special power. And again, I was tempted because
I want to know what this power was. I have felt it all this time. I didn't know what it was for, and I was hungry to find out. And I wanted more of it, because it felt good. So I said, well, maybe. And they told me I had to sign a contract in my own blood. And I said, no, you don't. Then they locked me in a little room, and it was dark, and they played these tapes to me over these loudspeakers, and all it said over and over was that Satan was king, Jesus was dead, Jesus was a deceiver, Jesus was a liar, only Satan loved me, only he could tell the truth. He was the one that was within the power that was within me, and only he could tell me how to use it and to bring forth a blossom as a beautiful rose would blossom with all my power and ability. Only he could lead me along this path, and that Jesus Christ hated me, and that my parents hated me, and everything. So after 48 hours of this, I was ready to sign anything to get out of this room. So I did. I signed a contract that said that I sold myself, body, soul, and spirit, to Satan for his use in exchange for all this power that I was supposed to get. And I signed it with my own blood. I cut my finger, I dipped a pen in it, and I signed it with my own blood, my name. Then became the training period. It was a long period. I was taught how to make incantations and spells. I was taught how to, you have to memorize everything. What candles to use, what color, what hour of the day to use certain things, when to use certain types of hair, animal hair, or bugs, potions and powders, how to light candles without touching them. I was taught how to levitate, how to meditate, how to astral project, how to think real hard and cause myself to come out of my body, so to speak. My spirit would come out of my body, and I could see everything around me with both sets of eyes, the spirit eyes and my bodily eyes.
Now, these were demons coming into your body all this time. These people were feeding demons into you to give
right.
you these powers?
They were teaching me that I had to call in, conjure up and call in a certain power demons in order for me to exploit this power that I had within, in order to make it explode and grow and become more. And at 16 and 17, you're young, you're easily taken along a path that isn't right, especially when you don't have Christian parents to lead you and guide you. I had a church that didn't care whether I was there or not. So I was pretty much on my own, and yet I was hungry for something. I was hungry to be loved by something or somebody that wouldn't hurt me, that wouldn't cause me any more pain.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
And all that story is told in my first book that you mentioned, He Came to Set the Captives Free.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. If you are interested in purchasing book Dr. Rebecca Brown, you can log on to www.harvestwarriors.com. Once again, that's www.harvestwarriors.com.